Episode 17.
If I have to take a technician off of a job in order to assist another employee who may be seeing something for the very first time, and this other gentleman hasn't, he's not being penalized financially for doing so.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. Aftermarketers, here's a warm welcome to Dave Serio from Bel Air, Maryland, from Vehicle Service Plus. Dave, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I certainly am, sir.
Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriato here, and welcome to episode 17. Don't forget about the many ways you can access the podcast. Listen through the remarkableresults.biz website or download any episode there for later listening. Or listen on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And be sure to get in on our list. On the website, there's a button on the right-hand side to subscribe to our list that gives you an email right into your inbox, alerting you to each new episode release. You'll also connect to my blogs, industry links, and see the archive of all podcasts. There's also a button to recommend a guest interview. Well, now let's go on with the show. Dave Serio from Vehicle Service Plus in Bel Air, Maryland, is not just a 30-year shop owner, but a Saturday morning radio show host for the last 19 years. Dave has been in the business since 1979 and owned other shops. His current five-bay shop opened its doors in February 2005. Dave says he owns the shop, but his dog Jasper operates it. Listen to Dave's perspective on the value of being a dog owner. He fields five technicians, two service advisors, and himself running the business each day. He talks about why he put his team on salary and how it benefits his company and customers. Listen to Dave's strategy on how he justifies his five-day-a-week schedule. And Dave also hosts a weekly live internet broadcast with other shop owners that provides advice to consumers. There's a lot to absorb, so set up to learn just one thing. Enjoy. Dave, there's so many areas to cover, so let's jump right into it. You ready? What made you dip your toe into the world of being a business owner?
Well, I was a business owner. I started out very, very young. At age 19, I started doing private party disc jockey work, along with every once in a while trying to zing into a nightclub at a very early age. And I got that business rolling to where I owned a number of vehicles that were used in order to transport equipment and transport disc jockeys, other people who worked for me, to parties, weddings, affairs, things like that. Well, after about 4 or 5 years of having a number of vehicles on the road, it came to my attention that I was spending a lot of money on auto repair. So I talked to the gentleman who was taking care of my autos and asked him how come he didn't have his own auto repair shop and he was working for someone else. And he said moolah was the reason. So at the time, I was doing pretty well. And I said, I can run an auto repair shop. I mean, how difficult can that be? So he decided to go along with me as a partner. And we opened up an auto repair shop where I was the salesperson. I was the guy at the counter, took care of the customers. I did whatever I could to get the customers into the building. And he did the auto repair along with another one of his friends. So we had three of us together. And I kind of really, in 1984, just fell into the auto repair business that way.
So the key question here is, how difficult could that be to start an auto repair shop?
Well, there's been a lot of laughter about that over the years. When I first started with Jim and Rich, they were the experienced technicians, and which I was just a novice in the business. And I remember a car coming into us, and this is kind of like know your clientele. A gentleman came in who had an old Datsun B210. Remember, this is 1984.
Okay.
So that was in the 70s. And these cars were not well-maintained cars. The Datsun B210s were just run until the wheels fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman comes in, and he has no low-beam headlights. High beams work, but no low beams. So I say, at the time, both Jim and Rich thought foolishly, well, maybe he has two headlight bulbs out. And they looked at me, and they laughed, and they said, no, that doesn't happen. Bulbs don't go out at the same time. It's a headlight switch. So we ordered a headlight switch. they installed the headlight switch, and both low beam headlights were still out. I was correct on one of my first diagnoses. The gentleman had gone along with a one headlight system for probably a long time, and the second headlight finally went out, and he realized he did not have any low beam headlights.
And from then on, you were considered brilliant.
I was considered fortunate.
All right,
and then,
great.
And then they gave me a little bit of credibility. It was funny.
That's a great startup story. What was the boldest decision you ever made in business?
Actually, that was one of the boldest decisions because I got into a business that I had knew nothing about. When I say I knew nothing about auto repair, I loved cars. I've always loved cars. I've had performance cars since I've been 16 years of age. My first car was a 69 Mustang GT. I loved performance cars. Did I repair them? No. Did I ever know anything about different parts of cars? Not really. So this was probably one of the boldest decisions I made. I felt comfortable in every decision in business I made over the years, but that one, I honestly was scared. And that was a bold decision. Now, I've also done some other bold decisions in my life, but having to do with business, going into spending about $20,000 of my own money in a business I knew nothing about was kind of risky. No doubt.
So what's one thing right now that makes Vehicle Service Plus such a great business?
The people that I have working for me make that happen. I've got a very good crew of technicians and also my buddy Tony, who has been with me for 24 years total in through two businesses, really helps me run the business like he's doing right now while I'm doing this interview. That really makes it. Now, one of the advantages that I believe we have in the industry that a lot of independent repair facilities, dealers, and franchise shops don't do is all of my employees, including myself, we're on salary. There are no flat rate technicians. Flat rate technicians is another nice way of saying commissioned. In other words, when they sell work at an independent shop, franchise, or dealership that works on flat rate, the technician does not get paid until he sells either labor or labor and parts, mostly just labor, which means if you bring a car in for an oil change and he doesn't sell any other work, he gets paid very little money to do an oil change. My technicians are salaried employees all week long. They make the same amount of money, whether they're working on your car, whether they're doing this on your car, or whether they're doing that on your car. And they look at the cars objectively and do a safety inspection and make sure that the cars are in good shape. You know, we give the customers the information on what we think should be done, and there's no high pressure in order to get the work done. Whatever the customer wants to have done, we take care of.
That's a great takeaway. Thanks. So you're open 5 days a week. Why would I come to your shop when the hours aren't convenient for me?
Well, there's two reasons. One, the technicians I have are some of the best in the area. And the reason for that is good technicians can get the hours they want. And the hours they want are Monday through Friday. They don't like working weekends. They don't like working evenings. Who does? And the dealerships and a lot of the franchise shops are open these extra hours. So they are getting situations where the best technicians are looking for the Monday through Friday schedule. And secondly, parts. If I am allowed to search and get the quality part for your vehicle, it is easier for me to find the part that I want to get for you, the quality part, the original part, on a Monday through Friday basis than it is in an evening or a weekend. And sometimes what happens is as a owner of a repair facility, if your situation where you have a part available to you on an evening or weekend, it may not be the quality part that you want to use, but you feel obligated because the car is in the shop and you want to get it done. You want to do that for the customer. So sometimes you use an inferior part in your opinion, and the week Monday through Friday allows you to use quality all the time.
Speaking of parts, what makes you choose your number one part supplier?
Well, I have a number of reasons. One is the way they work with me. Getting the parts I need next day or same day, that's what we always try to do. Also, the quality of lines of parts that they carry. They may have the name brands that I already want and know that are good quality. And of course, pricing has something to do with it also. But generally speaking, it's mostly the convenience of the parts, the amount of time that a part supplier will spend in order to get us a part. They'll do the extra mile.
The extra mile.
And, of course, the line of parts.
Sure.
Yep.
How important is the warranty program that your supplier offers?
It's important. But most of my suppliers give about the same warranty. They all give a minimum 1 year, 12,000 miles. Many of them give 2 years and unlimited mileage. So it all depends on the line of parts also. But I think what really makes the difference is when you deal with a parts supplier that really is interested in making sure that I'm satisfied as a customer. If I feel that a part did not last as long as it should have, or it failed for a reason that it shouldn't have, they usually will back me up.
Excellent. Thank you. Take us right now to a moment in time of an incredible aha moment and tell us the story.
I think that was when I decided to get into radio with my auto repair business background. In 1996, I had heard that a local radio station in the Baltimore area where I live had lost the radio talk show about automobiles. So I cold called the general manager of the station in person and sat down with him just for a few minutes. Did not expect anything really to come of it, but I hit at the right time. They had just lost this show and they were looking for another automotive show. I had never done talk radio before. However, I had done disc jockey work. So I was a disc jockey on the radio in the 70s. Now, again, this is 1996. So 15 to 16 years had gone by. And I told them that I felt that I could do a talk radio program with my background of auto repair and my background of radio, put the two together. Let's see what we get. They were a little apprehensive without the complete history of my background. So they put me on Sunday night during the football season from 7 to 8, which was a pretty dead hour, to say the least.
Sure.
But within 2 months, I had gained an audience and a opening happened on Saturday afternoons from 1 to 3. And I did a 2-hour program for 9 years from 1 to 3. And now I'm 8 to 10 every Saturday morning, prime time for an automobile talk show on that station, AM 680 WCBM in Baltimore. And it's gone well, 19 years now.
Since reinvention is so important in business today, what advice can you give service providers to break out of mediocrity and into exceptional customer service?
Well, first of all, treat people like you want to be treated. One thing I give, I'm live on the radio Saturday mornings for 2 hours. And the only person, the only way that someone can get a hold of me very easily, by the way, is very simple. They call the radio station, they give them their name, and they give them the town they live in. And trust me, I know for a fact people don't even give accurate information about that. I've had many customers who have used an air name, and when they come to my facility, they have to use their real name.
Yeah, I'm Charlie from wherever, and you could
exactly.
Tell. Okay.
Right. So that's the key. I'm on the air live for 2 hours every Saturday. If I am not treating people right, satisfying my customers, okay, they're coming on the air live to tell me about it. That you never want to have happen. And fortunately, I've been very fortunate in that situation. I treat customers like I want to be treated. If a part fails or a service, we do something incorrect and it fails, I'm one to notice it, to make it right, and get the customer satisfied. Now, there's always the possibility that even if you do everything right in our business, something can go wrong. And even then, I make it good. There's rare occasions, and I have to be honest, in 30 years, I've been taken to court 14 times because I felt there were 14 people that were way off the beaten path as far as what was realistic in what they wanted. And unfortunately for them, the judge said the same thing. So it's an unusual situation. I don't like to be in a situation where I'm ever taken to court. And I do everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen. But it is a negative side of the business. Auto repair is a very tough business to satisfy customers. And I feel I've done an exceptional job and continue to try to do an exceptional job to satisfy people. And I believe that that is the case. My customers would tell you the same thing.
What is a big concern or threat to your business right now?
The complication of automobiles and also the manufacturers of these automobiles doing everything in their power to try to make it so that independent shops and franchise shops can't work on their cars. There is legislation that has been loving around the market for 15 years, the Right to Repair Act. And unfortunately, it has never been passed. And the Right to Repair Act would make all automobiles repairable by independent shops by giving us the necessary information. We get information from manufacturers, but it's usually delayed, and they do make some vehicles that are extremely difficult to repair by any other means other than the dealer. Programming through satellite systems, things like this. So that is the biggest problem that it faces the independent and the franchise shop, is being able to work on the cars that are being manufactured today.
Describe the latest workflow process that you've improved in the business.
I would say, really, the salary. My shop, I only have 5 full-time technicians, and I have 2 people, myself and another person, running the counter, and then we have a helper. The way that I believe my shop works being salaried is not only great for the customers being able to not be taken advantage of, because there's no incentive for a technician to oversell. He's going to get paid the same at the end of the week, whether he says you need a brake job or not. So the chances of him being 100% honest are really, really high. But also, my shop, my repair facility, my technicians all work together. If I have to take a technician off of a job in order to assist another employee who may be seeing something for the very first time, and this other gentleman hasn't, he's not being penalized financially for doing so. If he gets paid hourly, okay, and he's not working on that car, he's not getting paid any money. But if he's paid salary, he's being paid no matter what. So I can take somebody off of a job and say, hey, Jim, I need you to help Joe over there for a few moments, and he may need some assistance in diagnostic here, or he may need some assistance in this particular vehicle because you had one of these a couple weeks ago and we had this situation. And that makes it run a lot smoother.
Dave, what's your preferred way of getting training to the techs?
There's a number of different ways. There are classes that are being offered to us in the business by different suppliers. Most of your big suppliers, Moog and Bendix and AC Delco and Motorcraft, all of these companies offer classes for training. And a lot of times, even though they sound like they would be just a class for AC Delco, it's really not the case. It is a general class for a particular subject matter. And my guys go to that, plus their ASE certifications. So they go to those classes on a regular basis, usually once a month or once every 2 months. We have a class set up that they can go to and get, you know, updates on certain things. And we also have services that help us too. There are a number of companies out there called All Data, which helps us with training. And then also Worldpack, a supplier, and Identifix. All of these can help with training also.
Terrific. Hey, where do you feel video is going for shops to promote and market themselves?
Well, what we do here, we don't do a lot of video, but we do some.
Is it the future of marketing?
I believe it is, but I don't know right now if there's a ton to show on auto repair that would be something that would translate to the normal consumer. What we do is we do Google Hangouts. We also, with information from different people in the business, I have at least 5 or 6 people join me that are all experts in the field. We talk about different subject matters about auto repair and the buying and selling.
Let's talk about that. I think you call that You Ought to Know Live.
Yes, I do. You Ought to Know Live. We do it 9 months of the year.
You do it 9 months of the year. You do it weekly?
Once a week, Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
And you invite shop owners to be guests?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, other people that own shops. We have a gentleman who's an expert on detailing. He owns what I like to call an extreme detail shop. That he does a lot of the high-dollar cars along with daily drivers. We have people from Jasper Engines and Transmissions. We have people from BG Products.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the premise of the show is, do people call in or do you have questions for the guests?
No, I have questions for the guests. So it's all a recorded program. We do it live, of course, for that 1 hour. And we just talk about questions that are involving the business, things that are going on, current events. And then also, of course, recommendations. We ask a couple of the guys to give their tip of the week. And it has to do with the subject matter of what they're experts in.
And are you doing this basically for the consumer or for the industry?
Yes, for the consumer mostly. Consumer mostly, but the industry listens, and that's a great thing, but it is mainly for the consumer.
So the shop, the radio show every week, and then you have the You Ought to Know, which you run weekly for 9 months of the year. Dave, what are your daily tasks that create the most value for your business and give you the greatest feeling of accomplishment?
It's a very good question. Daily tasks. I would say just talking to my customers, both in the shop and also on the phone. I have a very good rapport with my customers. Many of them have my personal cell phone. Many of them I consider friends. When we have parties at the house, they're invited. So there are a lot of people that I know and feel that way about that are just started to be customers of mine and are customers of mine. So that's how I met them. And I think that the interaction I have with my customers is probably one of my my favorite things. I get a chance to talk to them on a regular basis, find out about the family, things like that.
That's great. That's great. Anything holding you back right now?
My age, honestly. I'll be 60 this year, and I don't know how much longer the auto repair business will be in my future, because you get into a situation where it's a tough business. Even though I only do 5 days a week, I have my radio show on Saturday, which makes it 6 days. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you're talking about rain, sleet, hail, snow, cold weather, hot weather, everything that goes along with that. It can be a very tough business. So for that reason alone, I believe the radio show can go for a very long time. That is something that I would like to do. But whether I want to get up at 5 o'clock every morning for the next 10 years in order to run my auto repair business is something that I'm definitely thinking about.
So are you thinking of succession planning? Do you have any things going on?
Well, I live in the Maryland area right now, and I just purchased a house in Florida. So the possibilities of retiring down in Florida may be coming up fairly soon.
They're looking pretty clear, huh?
Well, it's a good possibility. Never know how life is going to throw you a twist.
Dave, what mark do you want to leave on the world?
Well, first of all, I know the Lord, and that's an important thing that I want people to know, and how I treat my customers, how I treat my friends. And I also, of course, would love to let people know about him. The Lord's been very important to me for a lot of years. That's one of the reasons why I think I run my business the way I do, is because that's something that's in my nature, treating people right and treating people honestly. I sleep well every single evening. I know I don't have any skeletons out there that are going to cause me problems in the future in my business world. And I try to treat people right. So if I could leave that legacy that when people say, when I do retire from my auto repair business, that, you know, say, hey, that guy, you know, he did a nice job and we appreciated his business. That's what I would like to hear.
Thanks, Dave. What's different on your website that makes yours stand out amongst your competitors?
Well, I have a couple different websites. I have the website for the radio program, which I think stands out. That's davesirio.com, my name. The reason why I think that stands out is we update it 4 times a week with newsroom stories from around the world having to do with the automobile business. And also we have all of our archive shows, video and audio streaming on there also. So people can go back to past shows and take a look at them. We have our preferred repair facilities, a list of companies that we recommend in the Baltimore region and Frederick, Maryland region that we trust as good auto repair facilities and also services in the automobile business, so people can trust them. And then my vehicleserviceplus.com is a basic website. I'm going to not exaggerate that. It just gives information on our particular business, getting people contact information on how they can get a hold of us and make appointments and things like that. But it's also, I think, a pretty important website in order people feel comfortable about our business.
Thanks. You just said something about you have preferred repair facilities on the radio station website. How do you vet them out?
Well, a lot of them have been friends of mine or business people that I've known for many years. I've been in the business for 31 years now. Over that time, I have worked with a lot of auto repair shops. Surprisingly enough, in our business, at least the way I feel, independent shops don't feel in many cases like they compete against other independent shops. We work together pretty well, and I've gotten to know a lot of owners over the years. If I don't know an owner, and they're recommended to me by somebody like Jasper Engines or BG Products, they've dealt with them for years, they know them. And then what I do is I interview them, I go to their facility, I check out their facility, talk to their technicians, and also talk to the owner. And over a period of time, we say, okay, that would be what we want to do. And they become a preferred repair facility. They're also monitored by me. All of my listeners know that if they have a question, comment, criticism, or witticism, they can call me. I have a cell phone attached to my hip that is on the radio show, And that is exclusively, that cell phone is used for the radio show. People can call me during the week, Monday through Friday, with any questions they have. Or if there is a criticism on the shop, then they can call me about that also. So everybody's accountable.
Hey, Dave, what makes your business woman-centric?
I think the way we treat people, not only on the phone, I try to give good phone. People don't think the phones are that important, but I think the phones are the most important. When I'm talking to a live customer in my shop and the phone rings, I say very politely, if you could do me a favor, could you hold on just one moment? I go to the phone, I answer the phone and say, listen, I'm with a customer now. Could you hold a moment? I'll be right back with you. And I will take care of both those customers as quickly as possible. But we do give estimates over the phone whenever possible. We make appointments with no problem, giving people the next day service. We also, of course, will answer any questions we possibly can. And phone is important. And I try to make sure that phone service by either me or also my employees is done properly.
Excellent. We're going to have a future On Point podcast talking about telephones. What is your favorite customer marketing program that gave you the greatest return?
Actually, well, my radio show is the one with the greatest return. That's kind of obvious because I'm hosting it. However, outside of the radio show, I try to use places that just give me a little bit of branding. We're in a lot of restaurants that have TVs that run commercial spots. They'll do like 30-second commercial spots, and then they have like trivia and other things that they'll have on there. For example, a couple of the wings places, things like that. I find that to be really good because most auto repair businesses are recommended by people that have dealt with me before. Now, that doesn't mean you don't advertise, but I believe that most people who deal with auto repair facilities have been told by a friend, yeah, this guy is really good. I use him, or I know the guy on the corner does a great job. And maybe that's enough to get them there. But also having some name recognition at the MVA, at the restaurants that they go to, if they see my advertisement. We also use my customer greeter, who is my terrier, Jasper. He's on my website, Vehicle Service Plus. He's used in all of my advertising. People who are dog lovers, they see that. And by the way, an auto repair shop that has the right dog, and that is the key thing, the right dog as a customer greeter really is a very, very nice, comfortable shop to be in. Most of my customers, I'd say almost all my customers, love the dog, and they know his name before they even know mine sometimes.
I think I heard him this morning barking.
Yes, he was barking this morning. Yep, he's here.
Hey, what's the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice I've ever received in business was to name my business what I do. In other words, don't make it complicated. My vehicle, my service business, my auto repair business is called Vehicle Service Plus. It can't be any more straightforward than that. I found out with a business that I had, a private party disc jockey business that I bought an existing business, and it was called the Hit Makers. Now, it wasn't a bad name, but it didn't tell people really what we did. It didn't say disc jockey. It didn't say anything else. It just said the Hit Makers. And I received very many strange phone calls because of the name, the Hit Makers. All right. So we'll just leave it at that. Being Italian, you got to be careful about that stuff, Carm. You know all about that. Anyway, I've decided, and I was given advice many, many years after that, to best thing that you could do for yourself is to make your business name something that explains what you do without serious complication.
Dave, where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years? Now, I think I've already got an idea of what you're going to say.
A little. Yeah. I believe retired from the auto repair business is the possibility, but I would like to spread the radio program out a little bit more.
Well, I'll tell you, for 60 years old, you have a ton of energy. You're doing a ton of things, and I really respect that. And yeah, there's no doubt you're probably not going to retire, quote, quote, but you're going to keep involved in something. So I'm going to give you the last word here. Give us some great words to live by.
Really, the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And also, you know, it's a caring for people. It's not just taking care of their car, but if they're in a financial situation and their car is in a bad situation, I've worked out many times to help out customers with special deals or special, help them out with a little bit of financing, whatever I can do to people that I know and treat. So I think it really is treat people the way you want to be treated. If you're in a tough situation, and every one of us has been in that way, financially or personally or emotionally or whatever the case may be, but if you're in a tough situation and somebody has, you know, stretched out an arm to help, that's the kind of person that I want to be, to help those people out if need be. And, you know, there's always the situation where someone can be taken advantage of, but I think it's worth the risk sometimes in certain situations to lend that hand and say, hey, let me see if I can help you out here and get this done.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Carm, I really appreciate the interview. It's been fantastic, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.